One other thing to know there when you're sending it in is you can't send a trust in for pre-approval and then fund it after they've said it's okay. First, most of the time they aren't going to tell you it's okay. You're just going to hear nothing back. And that is a super frustrating way to wait around on things, of course, but it is generally the way that it looks when we submit. So we can't send it in for pre-approval and then fund later. You've got to send in the whole thing ready to go. They will then evaluate it. So, like I said, when we're reporting, we want to send in a letter to the Social Security Administration that says basically, look, these are your requirements, and this is why my trust is compliant with those requirements. It's a good idea if you walk them through it. I always say the less I make them think, the more likely it is that I'm going to get approved. Just in general, for everything I do dealing with government agencies, I want to give them something they don't have to think too hard about. They can just read and do check, 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 and be done. So that is going to seriously reduce the risk that you are having to file an appeal. And frankly, going through the step action chart that shows what they are looking for also makes sure that you know that your trust is in fact compliant. If you're checking through that step action chart, if you're drafting this letter to them when you are drafting your trust, you're also going to be sure that your trust is in fact compliant. You aren't doing this on the back end. You're doing it as part of your planning. So when you are ready to report to the Social Security Administration, you've got this letter, and it's going to walk them through their step action chart. So anytime you submit a trust, and we're saying that this is a Medicaid exception trust, then they are going to have some things that they are going to have to look at in order to evaluate whether or not it is actually a Medicaid exception trust. So this is for your self-settled special needs trusts, not for your third-party settles. When we look at that, you should absolutely 100% also be reporting your third-party settles. They need to be able to determine that it is, in fact, a third-party settled and that the beneficiary is not able to direct it. So also report those. But when we're looking at this letter is for our self-settled special needs trust that we're sending in. So we're going to walk them through that step action chart. Oh, guys, that is my cat trying to make an appearance for us. So let's take a look at the letter that goes with it as we walk them through the step action chart. We're basically going to go through and say, number one, does the trust contain the assets of a person who is under age 65 when the trust was established? And then it's going to give the provision of the handbook that that relates to. What you're going to do there is then include your provision in your trust that says the date of birth of my beneficiary is this date. The date the trust was established was this date. At the time that the trust was established, the beneficiary was this age. And that way you're really clear. You're walking them through it. My person was in fact under 65. The second one is, does the trust contain the assets of a disabled person? Something to note about this one is that in the letter, we have it about the date of establishment. This provision in the handbook in the POMS got updated after these papers were due. So instead now of it being, was the person disabled on the date of the establishment of the trust? Is going to now be as of the date on which the trust's resources could affect the eligibility, the SSI eligibility of the person. So that's a subtle difference, but it is an important difference to note. It means that your person need not necessarily be disabled on the date that the trust is established, but they do need to be disabled on the date on which its resources can begin to affect them for SSI eligibility. Those are often the same date. But it's important to note that that difference occurred. So be sure when you're using it that you've updated it and then that you include your information as to when your person became disabled in your letter to them.